1 Corinthians chapter number 3, and that's where we're going to be this morning for the message. I was raised in Missouri on a fault line, and they have said we could have a massive earthquake. We were on one of those like California, you know, where we were definitely there and could have a major earthquake. We did have, I remember, tremors growing up as a child. And I think we're good ushers. Thanks, guys. And I remember having those tremors as a child, and things in the house would start rattling and shaking. And that is a very uncomfortable feeling. How many of you have ever been in an earthquake? Anyone been in an earthquake? And not a great feeling, is it? And how many of you would agree with me? You want to be in a sound building with a good foundation when you're going through an earthquake. Amen. That's important. You know, in fact, if you look at an earthquake on the Richter scale, say in California, and then that same earthquake in a third world country, a lot of times you'll see a lot more damage. Why? Because the buildings are not as sound. The foundations are not as sure. The buildings are not built as soundly as they would be here in America. You know, the Bible teaches that if you and I are saved and we know the Lord, we are God's building. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and look at verse number 9. It says, "For we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry." And then he says this, he tells the church, "Ye are God's," and what's that last word there, church? We're God's building. He likens us to a building. Now, we're built upon the most solid foundation that could ever be laid. What is that foundation? Look at verse 11. It says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is," what's our foundation, church? How many of y'all agree that's a great foundation? You believe that? If you have the foundation of Christ laid in your life, you have a solid foundation. We sing that song, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." That's true. Do you know Him as your personal Savior? Does He dwell in your heart by faith? How do I lay the foundation of Christ in my life? Well, you know, the nation of Israel, they did not have the foundation. Why? Look at Romans 9 on the screen. And the Bible says, "Wherefore, they were trying to achieve righteousness before God." The Bible says they did not achieve it. Why? Well, it says, "Because they sought it not by faith, but they were seeking it by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it is written, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense.'" Well, what does he mean by this rock, this stone? Well, we know it's a person, because he says, "And whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed." Can anybody tell me who is the rock that he's talking about right there? Right, Israel crucified Him, didn't they? They stumbled at the stumbling stone. I mean, instead of laying that rock as the foundation of their life, they tripped right over the foundation because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. In order to have Christ as the foundation of your life, you have to accept Him. You have to receive Him by faith. The foundation of Christ is not laid by your good deeds. It's not laid by your religious efforts. It's not, you know, laid by your religious rituals that you perform. It isn't by joining a church. It isn't by being baptized in water. Many people stumble over the rock of Christ rather than just receive Him, just accept Him by faith. Question, are you going to go to heaven and are you going to have the foundation of Christ by joining this church? Is that going to do it for you? No, that's not going to do it, is it? No, you have to receive Christ by faith into your heart and into your life. Nobody can do it for you. You have to make that choice to accept Him, to receive Him by faith. Don't stumble over the stumbling stone. Don't look for another way to heaven. Don't think, "Well, if I join Crossroads, man, I'm sure to go to heaven." No, listen, folks, listen to me. If you stand before the Lord one day and God says to you, "Why should I let you into heaven?" And you look at the Lord and you say, well, because I joined Crossroads of Daytona Beach and Pastor Dan was my pastor. If you do that, I'm going to claim before God Almighty, I never knew you. You know that? I'm going to claim I don't know what they're talking about, God. No, it's not by knowing me. It's not by knowing this church. It's not by knowing Pastor Rich. It's not by knowing Pastor Rob. It's not by your religious deeds. It's not by your religious efforts. The way to have Christ as the foundation of your life is to receive Him by faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe on Him. We had a young man come forward in the 9:30 service. Somebody took the Bible, took him to the back here, Ray Eckert, showed him from the Bible how he could be saved. He put his faith, he put his trust in Jesus Christ. Ray brought him in the hospitality room, man, that guy was grinning from ear to ear. Praise the Lord, now he's going to heaven. Not because he joined this church, not because he was dunked in water, but because he accepted Jesus Christ. You see, that's how you have that foundation. You accept Him by faith. You just receive Him. You say, Lord, I believe You died for me on the cross. I believe You rose from the dead. And I'm accepting You. I'm receiving You into my heart, into my life. And the moment you do that, there's this foundation that is laid in your life. You've got a foundation that you can build your life on. You got a foundation. By the way, that's what we're doing Walk Through Bethlehem. We're not proclaiming Crossroads as the way to heaven. When they go through the city, it's not about us. It's not about me or Pastor Rich or any of the leadership here. You know what we're doing? We're letting them know Jesus Christ is the answer. Jesus is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the one that you need as the foundation in your life. You need Jesus Christ. Once you have a foundation, that's a great thing. Buddy, you can build something solid. Here's the question, though. Is it just important to have a solid foundation? Or do you also need a solid structure on top of the foundation? Would you all agree with that? Here in Florida, we know about that, don't we? We had a thing back in 2004. We had four of them in 1 year. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Hurricane. Whenever a hurricane comes to Florida, is it a pretty good idea to have a solid structure that you're inside of? Yeah. In your handout, it has a statement there. I want you to get it. It says, not only is it important to have a solid foundation, but it says you must build on that foundation a solid structure. You have to build on the foundation of Christ something solid. You want to have a solid foundation. Yes, and that's Christ. But listen, if you've got the foundation of Christ and you build a weak structure, it's to no avail. If you are here in Florida and a hurricane comes and you got a great foundation and you build on that foundation a house of straw, is that going to do you any good when the hurricane comes? No. You see, it's important that you have the right foundation. It starts there. But then the question is, how are you going to build? And that's exactly what Paul told this church. Look at verse number 10. He says there in verse 10, he says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed. That means pay close attention to how he buildeth thereupon. So verse 10 warns the believer, take heed how you build on the foundation. You know, sometimes people will be like, oh yeah, I'm saved. I'm saved. And I accepted Christ when I was 5. Or man, I got saved when I was 10. Or I got saved when I was a teenager. Yeah, I'm saved. I know I have the foundation of Jesus Christ in my life. Great. You got a great foundation. How you building? How you building? You see, that's what I'm asking this morning. How are you building your life? Because, you see, the Bible tells us that there are two distinct ways that you can build your life. Look at verse number 12. It says, now, If any man build upon this foundation, talking about Christ, if any man builds upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones. But then he lists three other building materials, wood, hay, and stubble. You know what stubble is? Stubble was the stumps of the crops that were left behind after harvest. And the wind would blow them, and they were of no value. They were no good. They were just trash. He says you can build upon your foundation of Christ a structure that is composed of gold, silver, precious stones, or you can choose as your building materials wood, hay, and stubble. How are you going to build? I wonder how much of our life is spent building our life with wood, hay, and stubble. We are building our life on things that don't matter. We're building our life around things that don't matter. They have no eternal value. They have no eternal significance. They bring no glory to God at all. But yet we're building our life on those things. It's wood, hay, and stubble. And here's the thing. If you look down at verse number 13, it says, every man's work, how you built, it's going to be made manifest. How you've chosen to build your life, it's going to be made known one day. For the day, talking about the judgment day, shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by, and what's that next word? Fire. The fire is going to try or test every man's work of what sort it is. If you apply fire to wood, hay, or stubble, what happens? It's reduced to what? Ashes. All you have left is a pile of ashes when you're done. When you apply fire to precious stones, gold or silver, you know what the fire does? It refines it. What the fire does is it refines those precious stones and those gold and that silver. It takes those jewels and it refines it. The fire makes it stronger. The fire makes it more beautiful. You see, it says in your handout, mark it down, when you go through the fiery furnace of trials and afflictions, it reveals what kind of builder you've been. You see, whenever you go through the fires of problems and tribulations and trials, and by the way, how many of us go through that? I mean, all of us do. We could all stand up and talk about our problems. Wouldn't that be edifying? We could all just stand up and talk about our problems for an hour. You know, and we could do that. I've got problems. You've got problems. We've all got problems. We've all got tests that we're going through. We've all got that fiery furnace that we go through sometimes. When I mean the heat's really cranked up, and I mean it just seems like, man, just the flame, you can feel the flames. You know, maybe it's marital conflict, maybe it's a financial reversal, maybe you lose your job, maybe you get the bad news from the doctor about a health issue. And man, there's times when, I mean, it's like, boy, I mean, they just crank the fire up, and you can feel the flames. Now, when the flames of life come, when you go through that fiery furnace of life, it's going to reveal what kind of builder you've been. And it's going to show how you built your life. Whether it was wood, hay, and stubble you've been building, or whether you've been building a structure on that foundation of gold and silver and precious stones. The building materials are going to be tested by fire. Satan is going to beat against your house and see how you've built. Sometimes, you know, Paul talked about how, man, we wanted to do this and Satan hindered us. You know? And he talked about standing against the wiles of the devil, didn't he? He talked about the fiery darts of Satan that he'll throw. Isn't that interesting? The analogy of not just darts, fiery darts. Fiery arrows. Arrows with fire that he'll throw at you. You know, there's a verse here, I'll bring it up on the screen, 1 Peter 5:8. I love the analogy where he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, and I love the analogy, he pictures Satan as a what? Roaring lion. And he walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Oh, absolutely. Satan's going to test you to see how you're building your life, what kind of materials that you've been using to build your life on the foundation of Christ. Remember the story about the big bad wolf and the three little pigs? And you remember one of the three little pigs built a house of straw, another one of wood, and another one of brick. Remember that? And you remember the big bad wolf came, and when the big bad wolf came, he said, "I'm gonna huff and puff." Thank you. Boy, we got a sharp crowd here this morning. Y'all did better than the 9:30 service. But yeah, you know what? Isn't it funny how we can memorize Grimm's fairy tales, but we just can't memorize the Bible, amen? The Bible's too hard to memorize, you know. Yeah, I'm going to huff and puff and blow your house down. And you remember that the house that was made of straw? I think Brian even came up with something here. Yeah, oh, there he is. Look at that. Buddy, we get into the deep things here at Crossroads. Amen. But that big bad wolf came, man, when he huffed and puffed, the house of straw, boom, down. The house of wood, boom, down. And then it was the house of brick that withstood. And that's exactly, you know, you wonder if that thing goes all the way back to 1840 and before that, they said, that fairy tale. You almost wonder if whoever came up with that was thinking of Satan as a roaring lion. And how Satan will come and huff and puff. Man, he wants to tear your life apart. He wants to blow your house down. How you build makes all the difference in the world. That's why Paul said, take heed how you build thereupon. No other foundation other than Christ. But even if you have the foundation of Christ, oh yeah, I'm saved. How are you building? How are you building? How are you doing building your life? Are we building carelessly? Are we building haphazardly? Or are we building a solid structure that can withstand the fiery trials and the testings of life and of Satan? It's great to have a foundation. It's great to have a solid foundation. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. And it's so great to have a great foundation. But how are you going to build? Paul said you need to take heed how you build. You see, how can we as believers build our Christian lives of gold, silver, precious stones? And of course, that's an analogy. He's not talking about literal gold. No, he's talking about the things you invest your time in, the things you invest your money in. Where is your affections? What do you build your life on? Is it the analogy of gold, silver, and precious stones to where when the fires come, it just refines you and makes you better? Or are you building your life on wood, hay, and stubble? That when the trials of life come and those fiery testings come and those fiery darts from Satan come, it just kind of reduces you to rubble. It just reduces you to ashes and you're like, oh, you know. How are we building our life? What if everything you had materially was gone tomorrow? Everything. What if you were like Job? And everything, I mean every penny in your savings account, every penny in your checking account, what if your house, your cars, what if you lost everything tomorrow? You know, I'm afraid a lot of people would be devastated, or they'd be mad at God. They'd blame God for it. They'd be angry with God and bitter at God. And why? I don't know why God's doing this to me, and it's not fair. And you know what? The fires, we'll see how you build. How you built? What if everything was gone tomorrow? Let me ask you a question. If everything that you had materially was gone tomorrow, and if you're saved, and you have the foundation of Christ in your heart and life, would you still have Christ tomorrow if everything else was gone? Would you still have Christ? Hey, is that enough? Should be. But is it? Is it? That should be enough. Christ should be enough for us. But is it? You see, how are we building our lives? The fires of trials and tribulations will reveal it. Now, one day we'll stand before the Lord, and that'll be the ultimate test. I mean, if you never go through any trials, you just live a hunky-dory life, everything goes your way, everything you touch is turned to gold, and you never have any trouble, and you build your life the wrong way, and you die that way, well, you know what? You're still going to be tried by fire when you stand before God. And your life is either going to, whatever you did for eternity, whatever you did for the glory of God, whatever you did of eternal significance, it will remain and you'll receive a reward. All the other stuff, the wood, hay, and stubble, will burn up when you stand before God one day. It won't matter. How can I build my life? How can I fireproof my life to where I'm like those gold, silver, precious stones that when the fires of life come, I come out more beautiful and stronger than ever? How can I do that? How can I fireproof my life? Number one is this. Number one, I want you to write this in your handout. And it says there, number one, by seeking to continue your spiritual growth. Now, Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he's talking all about, in this chapter, about the foundation of Christ, and he's talking about how they're building. And the reason why he's doing that, look at verse 1. Look at verse number 1. Here's the context. Verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." Question, the Corinthians, were they saved? What's the last two words of verse 1? Come on, think with me. What's the last two words of verse 1? Say it real loud. What were they? He says right there, they're in Christ. These are saved people. If you have any doubt, look at the last verse in the chapter. What does he tell them? He says, ye are Christ. You're Christ. You belong to Jesus. You're Christ. They were saved and they had trusted Christ. They were in Christ. But in your handout, it says that their growth process had been stunted. Their growth process had been stunted. Right, Pastor Rich? They were babes in Christ. They were babies in Christ. Literally. They were babies in Christ. Yes, they were saved, but they weren't building their life the right way. They weren't building their life on the right kind of materials. So Paul refers to them as babies in Christ. Now, when you first get saved and you accept the Lord and you lay the foundation of Christ, when you first get saved, should you be a baby in Christ? Absolutely. It's perfectly normal. It is perfectly acceptable to be a baby in Christ for a while. The problem was verse 2. He said, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. Do you know what the problem was, church? Here was the problem. When these people should have been feasting on the meat of the word, instead they were still on milk. Now, there's nothing wrong with a baby feeding on milk. That's natural. That's normal. There's nothing wrong with a baby needing milk and having to have somebody come, you know, and feed it, spoon feed it. Nothing wrong with that. But that should be temporary, not permanent. You know, when the writer to the Hebrews wrote to the Hebrew people, the Hebrew believers, it was the same problem. He said to them, you know what the issue is? He said, you're dull of hearing. You're dull of hearing. You're not listening to God. You're not in the Word. You're not listening. You're not talking to the Lord in prayer. You are dull of hearing. And then he said, for when the time has come that you should be teachers, you should be teaching other people, you have need that somebody teach you, spoon feed you. The very first basic, most basic principles of God, you have need that people teach you again and encourage you and stick a pacifier in your mouth. He said, when you ought to be teaching other people by now. And so he tells the Hebrew people, he says, you are as ones that are in need of milk, not of meat. He that is unskillful in the word, he said, is a babe. He said, but strong meat belongs to those that are of full age. They are mature. They have grown up in their Christian walk. They don't have to have anybody hold their hand, and they don't have to be spoon-fed any longer. These Corinthians, and that's the issue here. We're talking about how to build our life. You see, the problem is they were not growing like they should. And it showed. You say, well, how did it show? Look at verse 3. He says, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? You know what these people were doing? They were walking according to the flesh. They were envious of one another. They were contentious. They were divisive. You know, and by the way, can that happen to anybody? Absolutely. That can happen to anybody. Listen, let me tell you this right now. When our spiritual growth is stunted, when we quit growing, we can get carnal real quick. We can revert back to behavior from our spiritual infancy. We can get carnal real quick, man, when we stop growing. And you can revert back to things. I remember when I first got saved, my brother was an authority, spiritual authority to me. And he was like a mentor in my life. And I can remember as a baby Christian, when I first got saved, he got me involved and got me helping. And of course, inevitably, anytime you get involved and you start serving the Lord, someone's going to hurt your feelings. Somebody's going to step on your toes. Somebody's going to, you know, do something that isn't right, that isn't the right way to do it. And I can remember as a baby Christian really getting my feelings hurt, just getting all out of sorts. I can remember getting upset with my brother. And I remember thinking, this just isn't fair and he's not treating me right, you know. And I acted like a baby Christian. Well, should a baby Christian act like a baby Christian? Well, yeah. You expect that. And my brother knew that and he helped me through that. You know? But you know what? If I quit growing in the Lord, I can revert back to behavior from when I was a baby. I can revert back to that kind of childishness if I quit growing. And by the way, if you quit growing, if your growth is stunted, it's a cop-out, man, to say, well, it's my wife's fault, it's my husband's fault, it's the pastor's fault, it's the church's fault, it's my life group's fault. That is a cop-out, folks. If we are not growing, if our growth is stunted, man, we've got to man up, look in the mirror, and say, that's the reason I quit growing right there. We got to look in the mirror and say, that's the reason. That's why I'm not growing. I'm looking at the reason in the mirror. That's why I quit growing. That's why my growth is stunted. That's why I'm reverting back to childish, babyish behavior. Is because of me. I've quit growing. Can you imagine if everyone in the church came to church in the condition that they were spiritually? Can you imagine if while I was preaching, a bunch of people got out pacifiers and went, yeah! You know? People come to church, you know, and they get up. They don't like what I'm preaching, and they throw a temper tantrum, you know. And I don't like that, you know. Can you imagine you go to reach for a pew Bible, and somebody next to you goes to reach for it, and you go, that's my pew Bible, and you grab them by the hair and, you know, jerk their hair? Can you imagine if all of us behaved in a way that fit where we were spiritually? It'd be kind of scary, wouldn't it? I don't know if any of us would come to church, would we? By the way, are you ever too old to grow spiritually? No. You are never too old to grow spiritually. You are never saved long enough to where you say, you know, I don't need to grow anymore. In your handout, it says at the bottom of your handout, you should keep growing until heaven is your address. You should keep growing until heaven is your address. And when it comes to our growth in the Lord, it's really not so important where you are, but which way you're heading. What do I mean by that? If you could look up here, and if I could just use an analogy real quick, imagine at the top there, because you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, about 5 or 6 steps. Imagine that, you know, here I am, I got saved, Pastor Rich leads me to Christ, I'm a baby Christian, okay? But then I begin to grow, and I take a step, and I'm growing. I take another step, I'm growing. I take another step, I'm growing. You know, I move forward, and now I take another step, and I'm growing. I'm really growing. See, I'm heading in the right direction. Maybe I'm not where I want to be, but I'm heading in the right direction. But what can happen is, if I'm here, if I quit growing, can I actually go backwards? Yeah. I can begin to behave like I did back here. I can begin to get full. And by the way, one of the marks that you know you've stopped growing is when you get contentious, divisive. You look at personalities and people and you got favorites. That was their issue. They had their little favorites. Oh, I like him, but I don't really like him. And, you know, I respect Paul, but I don't respect Apollos. And Paul's my man and Apollos is my man. You just know, man, I'm a baby when you do that. And what can happen is I'm over here and I'm past all that. But then if I quit growing, if I quit moving forward, you don't ever just stay where you're at. You know, what happens is you begin to go backwards. You're either going one way or the other. And when you begin to decline in your walk with Christ and in your spiritual growth, that's when you're like the Corinthians. And that's when you get real people-centered. And you're always looking at people and judging people and mad at people. People get under your skin. People bother you. People irritate you. People aren't what they ought to be. And blah, 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 blah. And he said, you know what? You're contentious. You're divisive. You're full of envy. He said, are you not carnal? He said, I can't speak unto you as unto spiritual. He said, I have to talk to you like babies. Because that's how you're acting, like babies in Christ. I know you're saved. I know you're in Christ, but you're babies. And you begin to decline. You see, when it comes to spiritual growth, I guess the issue really isn't so much where you're at as which way you're heading. You know? Because some of you in here may be like, well, you know, I used to be over there, but man, in the last few years, I'm back down here, but I feel like I'm growing again. Great. At least you're heading in the right direction. But some of you maybe are more carnal now than you were a year ago. Well, that's a cause for concern. Because you see, if you're going to build something that's going to withstand the fiery trials that are coming, you got to build a solid structure. And the only way to do that is you've got to keep growing. You've got to continue your spiritual growth. And one of the easiest things to do is, man, when you've been saved a while and you feel like you've got a pretty good grasp of the Bible, is you quit studying, you quit hungering, you quit praying, you quit depending on Christ. And man, you can get carnal so quick when you do that. You can revert back to babyhood so quick when you quit growing. Now, I don't know if you're growing or not. That's something you have to decide internally between you and the Lord. But are we growing or are we declining? If we want to fireproof our life from the fiery trials of life, we got to keep growing. We got to keep moving forward. And by the way, a year from now, let's fast forward to December 2014. You want to be able to look back and say, you know what? I can really see where I've grown in the last year. I have grown in Christ. I have grown spiritually stronger than I was last year in December. Now, how do you know if you've grown? Well, you know, the way you know you've grown, a lot of times religion likes to try to give you all the list. And a lot of times we want to think, we're growing because of some outward stuff we've done. Well, I'm more involved in the church than I was last year. That's not the mark of growth. That's not the mark of growth. Well, you know, last year I carried a 3-pound Bible to church, and now I got a 10-pound Bible I carry to church. I've grown. No. No, that's not the mark of growth. You know? I've kept the list of the church, all the rules and requirements and all the things the church tells me to do. Of course, we don't have that here at Crossroads. We don't have a list for you to keep. But a lot of churches do. And they think if they can get people to outwardly conform, well, they're growing. And you know what happens? A firestorm comes to that church. And the church scatters, and people, maybe something happens, and I mean, all of a sudden, man, it's just like, whoom, and people's lives collapse because someone disappointed me at church. Somebody let me down. And then there's this division and contention. Why? Because they led their people to believe they were really growing because they dressed a certain way, looked a certain way, you know, we're doing this, doing that. If you want to know if you're growing, a year from now. Then 1 year from now, you should be able to look back at this right now and say, you know what? I'm more loving now than I was a year ago. I love people more now than I did a year ago. You know what? I am kinder, and more gentler than I was a year ago. I'm a more kind person. You know, I'm able to look back and say, you know, man, I got a longer fuse than I did a year ago. I'm more patient with people. I'm just more long-suffering with people. People don't irritate me and get under my skin like they were a year ago. You know? We're able to look back and say, you know, my faith, I have a better grasp of the Bible, and my faith in the Lord has really grown this past year. Hey, you know, I find that I'm more temperate. I've got more control over fleshly lust and passions. And, you know, when last year when I wanted to blow my stack or I wanted to get mad or I wanted to do something fleshly, I find now I'm able to restrain that more often and keep that under control. I find that my joy is stronger than it was a year ago. And man, you're able to look in December next year and say, I got more joy than I did last year. I'm just a more joyful person, and it is dependent on if someone's nice to me or does it my way or does what I want them to do. I just got the joy of the Lord all the time. That's how you know if you're growing. You're more loving, kind, gentle, good. You got more faith. You're more temperate. And by the way, I don't know if anybody just caught, do y'all know what I just listed off? I just listed the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5. How do you know if you're growing and the Holy Spirit's working through you and it's not your flesh? How do I know that it's Him and not me? He says the fruit of the Spirit is love. I don't love people on my terms. I love them on God's terms. I'm not kind to people that are kind to me. I'm kind to people who I'm irritated with, who I'm mad at, who I think did me dirty. I'm able to be meek, gentle, kind, patient, good, long-suffering, temperate. That's how you know if you're growing, is that fruit of the Spirit is being manifested in your life. And that's what the Corinthians didn't have. You read this book, they were not temperate. They were not kind. They were not gentle. They were not meek. They were contentious and divisive and just trying to irritate and just taking sides and man-centered and choosing favorites. Paul said, you're not growing. You're babies. Your babies. So if I want to build a solid structure, one that's going to withstand the fiery trials that are going to come my way, and if I'm not going to be reduced to ashes and destroyed when the roaring lion comes and huffs and puffs and wants to knock my house down, I've got to seek to continue my spiritual growth.